pain levels in different parts of their bodies, and all of a sudden, as you are praying, you can feel it move from one place to another. Put your hand up so you'll know what I'm... Okay, so you can see the hands, okay? This is not make-believe. Now, when that begins to take place in us, and we begin to obey the Holy Spirit, the eviction notice is your mouth declaring God's word. That's the eviction notice. Now, they are going to try, because they've held on to the house for a long time, and they want to use the house. They claim it's theirs. Bottom line, they claim it's theirs. And they will declare to you that they are there legally because you have given them permission. How many know if a child is walking towards a river and about to fall in, and the mother or the father says absolutely nothing, that the child could actually die and drown because the parent didn't say anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Say, if I don't speak, nothing moves. Nothing changes. So who has to speak?
We do.
We do. And if you go to James chapter 3, it says the mouth, the tongue, has the authority in the house. I mean, that's pretty intense. And most Christians, I hate to say it this way, but it's the truth, most Christians are their own worst enemy about saying how ugly they are, how hopeless they are, how ungodly they are, and they speak it out. Oh, I'm no good. Well, let's be honest. Who's speaking those words out of your mouth? Is that the Holy Spirit?
No.
Who is it?
The demonic spirit and forces.
Ah! The demonic spirit will speak through your mouth to destroy who you are. And they'll keep you destroyed as long as your confession stays in that order. I remember, and I taught this before, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, what you declare with your mouth will become. Now, I'm no good, I've never been any good, I have no value, I am nobody, why should anybody love me? Why am I being persecuted all the time? It's because I'm ugly and I can't do anything right and I can't learn and I can't do this and I can't do that. Are you listening to who's speaking? Are you really aware that those forces are speaking through you to destroy tomorrow?
I don't think so, otherwise we would stand against it.
Would we?
If we knew, we were aware of it.
I think we do know in some sense.
We do know in some sense.
I mean, when we're walking around and we're constantly putting ourselves down for this or for that, I mean, we know that what we're doing...
You may know in your mind, but you're not really convicted in your heart, or otherwise you would take a stand.
But again, there's still that knowing in a sense that it's there. I mean, before that conviction in our heart comes in, I think that we have to make a decision not to speak that way. The conviction isn't going to come in until we step out and say, enough is enough. You know, we're going to go on the word of God versus on our word. And our word says we're idiots, we do nothing right. God's word says you're not. You're in my image. And you do everything right. And until we step out, though, I just don't think that that's going to step in to the degree that we're looking for. Do you know what I mean? That step up and say, enough is enough. I think it has to be more of a faith step out versus a conviction step out. The conviction comes later? I don't know.
Well, let me say that what might help is this. You have to realize that we're dealing with the power of the soul versus the power of the spirit man. Okay? Now, your spirit man is probably born again, let's say, 10 years, versus your soul man being in full control for 30 or 40 years.
Knows how to manipulate the situation.
Yes. It knows, and it is, by the way, at least double or triple, I believe it's triple in size. the soul is much larger than your spirit man. And the larger or the bigger that soul has developed in control, and the longer that it's been in control, the deeper it is going to be able to manipulate the body and to use the flesh. Now you say, well, where are you going from? I gave permission to the Lord to change whatever He wanted this morning, because it was a very strange morning. Usually I get something to go on, and this one's supposed to be laying down there, and he doesn't even know why, but God's working on him. So, remember one thing. You are made up of three parts. 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:23. Spirit, soul, and body. Three parts. My spirit man came alive when I was 27 years old. So my soul had full control for 27 years. Okay? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, my spirit man came into full authority. And I want you to declare at the age of, and you don't need to speak it, but you know what it is. The year basically that you accepted Jesus. And everybody's different. But my soul was in full authority. Accustomed to ruling and reigning this body. And getting its way. Like a spoiled brat, it wanted to rule. And it likes to rule. And the flesh has power. So if I admit these things, I can begin to change it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And like our sister said, the confession has to come. The confession has to come. The confession won't come until you realize it, which is right. You're both right. See, both of you are right. But when that conviction comes, it is not an accusing spirit that comes. It is a wonderful Holy Spirit welcome to a wake-up day. When that wake-up day comes, and it can be any time, it can be at any age, it comes when you least expect it, and it says, did you really hear what you said about yourself? And right now, Laurie, you're holding the most precious little gift that God could provide on a Sunday morning. Amen. And it's all Violet's fault. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Now, perfection is very visible in that brand new baby. Say amen.
Amen.
Say, when I was that age, I was absolutely perfect. Now notice, did you feel comfortable with that statement?
Of course.
Why?
Because you knew you weren't corrupted at that age.
Thank you!
You hadn't made any wrong decisions. Bad choices. Uh-huh. God
forgives us.
Yes.
Now, tell me, when did God forgive you?
The moment you asked.
Huh?
The moment you asked.
How far back does it go?
To the cross.
To the cross? It goes back to Adam. Joshua, the living water went all the way back to what? The city called Adam. I believe it's Joshua chapter 3.
Yep.
Try it on for size. Say the forgiveness that Jesus provided. Provided the living water to back up in the Jordan River. All the way to the city called Adam. That includes me. So when forgiveness was given on Calvary, the living water went back to where? Are you waking up? No.
I thought it was the blood that forgave.
not the living water.
It's the living water that washes away. When you went into the baptism, where did you go? You died to yourself, you went into Him?
Yeah.
You're no longer you, you're Him? Are you Him or are you you? Are you the body of Christ or are you an individual trying to skip in there illegally? No! You're already in. I'm in Christ. Tell your neighbor, I'm in Christ. The minute I said yes to Him, I was imparted an adoption paper. That adoption paper says I belong to Jesus. I'm no longer my own. And I'm preaching. I'm preaching to who? Declare it. I'm preaching to me. Right now. I am the fullness of Christ. By His Spirit. Which is a deposit. He placed in me. I asked. And He gave. How many have got a churning going on the interior of the belly? Go ahead. Don't be afraid to put your hand up and look around. Okay, what is that war for? It's because it's trying to get you to believe what God has said about you that you and I are still arguing about. And I say you and I because I still have corners that He tries His best to lie to me. And I need to declare which ones are lies, and I need to declare the truth. The Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. If you don't use the sword, you've got the results of the ugly fruit of your attitude. And what your flesh says about you and what your soul says about you is not the truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth, I am the way, and what else? And we go by this block of wood that we got on our shoulders. And we recreate what the enemy says, and we speak what he says, because we're going according to our emotions. Amen. And God says, get out of your emotions. Get into the realm of the Spirit. You know, when we are making a decision and we go by the truth of the Word, we begin to see the power that He's already placed in us. And if we listen to what the Word says about us, He will manifest in a brand new way. But He can't do it until you make up your mind to say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this. I've tried, I have failed miserably, I am trying to make myself holy, and by golly, it's not working. And when you make that commission, you are actually humbling yourself. James 4. What is the war that's going on inside of you? And it goes on and on and on. Humble yourself before God. Lord Jesus, I couldn't clean myself up even if I tried. I have tried. And there's corners that I was successful. But in other corners, I nosedived into the garbage.
Amen.
Over and over and over. And I said, God, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me that cannot be changed by me humbling myself and saying, Jesus, would you do it? Amen. Simply do it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. How? By His Holy Spirit. He is the one that's holy in us. He is the one that can do this work in us. And His strength is sufficient. Now, does that mean that you and I, when we do the confessing, and we've already given an eviction notice, that this tormenting force that's on us, whatever it happens to be, okay? Because there's all kinds. There's physical, there's demanding spirits, there's all kinds of deceiving forces that are in us. And we did inherit these many times. It's not always something we did wrong. It's something that we came into this realm with a package. Because the scripture says we inherited from our family. Okay? Those weaknesses are in us. Okay? God is also available to us to clean us up. Now, how long does it take? As long as it takes. Because some areas may be easier for one. It may not be as easy for you. But when God delivers you, believe me, you'll know it. And you'll be aware of it. And that awareness is what gives you grace and compassion to your brothers and your sisters to really lay hands and then release the healing that you've received. And that's how the body is supposed to function. I can remember many years ago, the Holy Spirit saying to me one time, I want you to minister to that person over there. And I kept saying, God, what are you up to? And I didn't really want to because I was feeling inadequate about myself. Can anybody relate? While you're feeling that inadequacy, who's pushing your buttons? Who's telling you that you're inadequate? Yeah. But you know, I didn't recognize it. I thought it was truth. So I didn't do it. Several weeks later, the same individual's in front of me, kind of on the sideline in the pew. And the Holy Spirit says, what you couldn't do the last time I spoke to you, could you do it now? How many call it the valley of decision? I had to make a choice. But God's Holy Spirit had been working on me for 2 weeks, or whatever the numbers were. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is really you, then you're going to open a door. How many know pastors sometimes get a word from God? This is when I was working at Grace, and it was on a Friday night, if I remember correctly. Gino says, Kim, would you come up here? And he'd do that any time during a service, so you know that it was just a word that he was getting. So I went up, and I thought, so I'm getting closer. He says, you got your oil with you? Yeah, I have my oil with me. So I took my oil out of my pocket. He says, see that person over there? Yeah. Of course, the very person that I'm supposed to minister to 2 weeks ago. Okay? Get a clue. Who was pushing the buttons to get me to do what God was wanting me to do?
Ultimately, you had to make the decision to step out. And you didn't until...
Lazy.
Somebody called you.
Fearful.
That's right.
Anxious. Unable to function. Frozen. Paralyzed. In prison. Want a few others? Demonic friends. Huh?
She was thinking that it was sufficient.
Yeah, it's sufficient. But are you catching on to what I'm getting to? Okay? So now, guess what? My legs are trembling. Okay? I really don't want to go to that person. I don't want to. Because after all, who am I? I have no conviction. But by fear and trembling, I approached the person. And I am literally trembling. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, that one has gone through what you've been through. Love them to victory. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, my job is to love myself with your love. Recognizing what you've already done for me. That you have cleansed me of all my sin. It should not be ruling and dictating to me to shut me down so that I'll never complete my job in the body of Christ. There's a living fountain of living water right inside of me. There's a river of living water, capable by love to cleanse the neighbor, to release grace to the neighbor, and to heal my neighbor. Hallelujah! It is capable of flooding them All the way back to Adam. Meaning where I was first thought of. In Christ. Take a couple of deep breaths and let that digest. Zechariah 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. That was the scripture he gave me this morning, because he showed me a picture of a fountain. We talked about the living water last night. And for that, you can check on the website when the time is right. But the bottom line is, this fountain that is within each of us is placed there by God to cleanse us. What does a fountain do? Does it just make it attractive? No, it cleanses. Amen? It's living water. What's the woman at the well? She's got what? Marital troubles. Five husbands. Living with number six. I mean, let's face it, she must have been damn sexy. She could attract them, but she couldn't keep them. Well, come on, guys. She's human? Yes, she is. Did Jesus give up on her?
No.
What did he say? You need... Look at your neighbor, say so to you. And so do I. What was the living water for? To clean up what was messy in her past. What's wrong with you and me? Whatever it was, we can get living water to clean up whatever was needed to be cleaned up. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to have five husbands. It means that she did not get judged. If she didn't get judged, why should you judge yourself? What are you doing? Who made you king? We have made ourselves king. Yes, and that's got to change. Who is the King of Glory? It's Jesus. It's not me. Who has the perfect opinion? Jesus, not me. Who has the word of life? Jesus, not me.
I just wanted to be his partner.
You can be when you sit on his throne and declare his word. Yes or no? And he made a provision for you that you can sit on his throne. Again, Zechariah chapter 13. I want to go a little bit further because this is in the right track. On that day, I will banish the names of idols from the land. What are those idols that you and I worship? Self is an idol. Yoo-hoo! And when you worship at the altar of yourself, horrid, horrid pictures are going to come in. It's an idol. And you can't do anything about it unless you make a decision and say, wait a minute, self, you're not going to rule and reign. You are not the king of my life. Jesus is. And you're in that valley of decision. Gail, something is going on inside of you, and I'm telling you now, God is cleaning that up.
I'll tell you what I'm hearing.
Go for it.
You're talking about you're approaching a person because you're feeling inadequate. For me, where the Lord has me, is I have more than one that has seriously offended me. What the Lord is saying, not only do I forgive the person, I give that before the Lord, but to go to that person, this is, I've only done it to one, to go to the person and say, please forgive me for criticizing you and judging you in my heart while they offended.
Yes.
Really? That's where I'm at. And I know that I'm going to do it, but I'm just waiting on God for, okay, when's the right door here? But that's not comfortable for me, to go to the person and say, I have judged and criticized you in my heart. Make no difference how they feel whatsoever.
You look up James chapter 4. Mm. What causes fights and wars among you and within you? It is what? The spirit of pride. And when you are going to go to that individual and say, I have been offended because of where you have come from and I'm setting you free, what are you doing to pride in you? You're crushing it. You are crushing the enemy. That's what you're doing. You're putting the enemy beneath your feet. He's becoming a footstool for you to stand on. Doug gave us a lesson of that, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
The enemy is your footstool. Until you decide. Yeah, until you decide. Who is the decision maker? You are. God will not interfere with your free will. He will not interfere. Hallelujah. Thank you, Gail, for that gift. On that day, verse 2, I will banish the name of the idols from the land. What land? Your earth. And they will remember me no more. And they will remember no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophet and the spirit of impurity. Which kind of prophet? The false prophet. From the land. And if anyone still prophesies, his father and mother to whom he was born will say to him, you must die because you have told lies in the name or in the Lord's name. There are prophets out there that are prophesying left and right. Even on your television set. Amen?
Amen.
And what you need to do is pray for them. Intercede for them that the Holy Spirit will really release grace to them. And I'm not saying that, you know, every single prophet is bad. I am saying, however, that the false prophets will be identified. The faults will be made known. That article I read to you from that booklet by Don Norrie from 1992. I mean, that's an incredible, incredible piece of information. That God is going to clean up his church and Jesus will construct what he wants. Not what people have done out of sheer pressure tactics. And out of seduction. How many know what I'm talking about? Seduction so blatant that they can't even realize what they're doing to the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you say, oh Lord, is this what I'm involved in? I have been caught. I have been deceived. But you know what? I also learned. I'm going to close with this because I'm going to share with you that there was a ministry that was coming into this area. This is close to 20 years ago. And the Holy Spirit sent me to this ministry. And I sat. It was in an auditorium. It was in, I don't remember which town, and it's a good thing. But the music was beautiful. And the first night I went, it was not bad, it was pretty good, but I kept saying, Lord, why did you send me here? And I kept hearing, listen and hear what my spirit is saying. Now I had heard a lot of people, because I knew a lot of people, that were going to both. They were going on Friday nights at Grace, and then they were going to this other ministry, which was coming from out of town, and it was raising a lot of questions. So the second time they came and the Holy Spirit said, go again, I really didn't want to go because, you know, I hadn't gained anything. I was like, why did I bother going? And so I went because the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. Say, the Holy Spirit will draw you to go to the dry place in order to learn what living water is. So that's where he sent me in this time. Guess what? The true nature was visible. I will prophesy over you as soon as you bring in a $100 bill in an envelope right here, and you will receive the prophecy for your future. Whoa! Now my insides are ready to puke, and I'm not being gentle, I'm telling you the truth. My insides are just ripping. And I said, Lord, and I wanted to run out, and the Holy Spirit said, watch. I wanted to run out. The Lord said, watch. And some of those very people that belonged to Grace Church went down and got their, what? Word from the false prophet. Now I want to go tell Gino. And the Holy Spirit says, shut up. Yeah, I'm serious. I want to tell him. And I can tell you about what date it was. It was probably in 86, 87, because I was wallpapering in the hallway. So I'm wallpapering in the hallway 3 or 4 days later. And Gino's got the door partially open to his office, and the outdoor, other door in the hallway is also open, But I'm wallpapering in the hallway, and I don't want to hear what's going on in the office. So what do? I kind of knocked on the side of the door, because he's talking to them, because I had had a couple phone calls or whatever, and I needed to do that, and I came back to finish my job. Okay? So I got my brush, and I'm about to do, and I thought, oh, I got to close those doors. I don't want to hear what's going on. Catching on? And so I said, Pastor, I'm sorry. He said, wait a minute. Come in here, Kim. So now I'm caught. I'm not going to go back to do my hallway because he says, I want you to listen to this. So he's talking to a couple. And this couple is the very couple that were at that service that I had watched give to get a prophecy. He says, this couple has been going to this church that's kind of visiting in our area, and he gives me all the details, and I am holding and about ready to burst. He says, do you have something to say? And I said, the Holy Spirit sent me there, but I saw the false versus the truth. He says, you did? What did you see? I said, well, I saw the seduction. I saw the money being used as a tool to get a prophetic word. And I said, I wanted to leave, but there were many people that I knew that were in that audience and participated and gave in order to get a prophecy. He says, do you see that as God? I said, no, I see that as demons. He says, I just told this woman and this man who are married that unless they make a quality decision, that they're heading for some major, major troubles because this is witchcraft. It's called Christian witchcraft, but it is witchcraft. And he said, when you submit to witchcraft, you will get witches' results. And he says, you know what that is? That's called confusion. And you know what confusion does? It brings mental torment. And mental torment will put somebody in a mental institution, and it won't take very long. Do you know what? I knew both of those individuals. And about 2 years later, because they've switched churches, and they went to the other ministry. And the Holy Spirit says, don't say anything. And one day, I got a phone call. And the man said, my wife has just been committed to a mental institution. She's lost her ability to think for herself. She was in there for a long time, until the Holy Spirit gave them abilities to leave. But I'm trying to tell you something. It's serious business out there. And you need to discern. You need to ask God, what are you doing? You need to be Holy Spirit inspired. And I'm trying to say to you, yes, there is a body of Christ that is real. But there's also a body of Christ that is seductive, and it is actually called in the scripture a demonic church called Babylon the Great. She's full of confusion. And that's scary. Would you close your eyes, please? Father, I thank you that you have given them living water today. And that they're going to be able to discern correctly by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of each and every individual. And Father, if there's a trap that is set for them, let it be exposed. Let your angelic assistance, because it says in Hebrews chapter 1, 7 and 14, your angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the body of Christ. And they're for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Share some love with each other.